Oh, hallelujah. Just lift your hands to heaven. Oh, and on that day we will rise just like He rose. And we will be just like Him. For we will know Him and know His glory. Father, we bless Your holy name. We bless You and we say thank You for everything. Thank You for the price. Thank You for rising. Thank You for life. Thank You for making a way. Thank You for who You are, what You've done, and what You're doing. Thank You that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank You that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Thank You that by Your stripes we have been healed. Thank You. Thank You. And we ask for Your forgiveness, for Your mercies, and Your grace. We repent for every area of sin, transgression, and iniquity, and every area where we've touched and agreed with the voice of the stranger, touching unclean things. Lord, we repent for the sins of our eyes, our lips, our tongue, our heart, hands, and feet, our minds, our thoughts, and imaginations. We repent and we ask for the washing of the blood of the Lamb, the filling of the Spirit, that we may be one with You as we continue to welcome the Spirit of life, the life giver, the Christ, the anointed one, Jesus. The name above all names, Jesus. And Lord, we commit to You our spirit, soul, and body as a living sacrifice. We ask that Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Establish Your kingdom. Position Your people. Break every yoke of bondage. Open eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to receive. Strengthen the legs to walk. The heart to receive, the lips to speak, the eyes to see, the ears to hear. Strengthen us today, Master, that there be a shift in Your spirit, that we may catch the wave of Your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Another beautiful day in God's neighborhood. Would you grab your swords, please, and turn to John 14? How many of y'all know every day is Resurrection Day? How many of y'all know every day is the Sabbath? How many of y'all know every day is Christmas? Hallelujah. Man, we celebrate it every day. Glory to God. The world only knows one day. We take it every day. It is a day of remembrance because our life is nothing but a life of memory. And John 14 and verse 1, would you read it with me, please? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus answered him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Very powerful, this statement. Jesus was not only proclaiming that he was the Father who had come into this realm, but he proclaimed three important things in the area where he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Three very important things that Jesus did and not only proclaimed, but did and left for me and you. The first thing that he did, of course, we know by dying on the cross and going to hell and rising and raising on the third day. But one of the things that he specifically did is he manufactured his own blood. And he manufactured his own blood. In other words, the blood of God was manufactured. He made his own blood. The blood that was pure, undefiled, not made of man, but made of God. And the manufactured blood from God was for him to access us. And then us to access him. By removal of sin through the blood and by making a corridor to eternity, the way home. So in this is the first thing that I truly believe in the area of why Christ was manifested in the natural realm. He, number one, had to produce his own blood, didn't he? And by producing his own blood, he was able to wipe away man's sins so that God can have access to man and man access to him and provide a corridor to eternity, which is your way home. The second thing that he did and left for me and you was exposing the enemy in our lives and disarming him and leaving us weapons to overcome. So he exposed the enemy in our lives and he disarmed him and then he left us weapons to overcome him. And the third thing that he did, he gave us his Spirit. The Spirit of life. To guide us, to teach us, and to raise us from this earth and its atmosphere and return us home. He also gave us his sight and character in Christ so that we may carry the character of Christ. Again, he gave us his Spirit of life to guide us and to teach us and to raise us from this earth and its atmosphere and return us home. Because we don't belong here, do we? He also gave us sight, what we call vision, to be able to see the way Christ sees, and his character. And that is all given to us by his Spirit of life. I want to share something as the Spirit was revealing to me. I want to share it with you. And he said something about life. He said, life is the provision to existence. We exist because we have life. Wisdom and knowledge is the ability to adapt existence or to adapt to existence in another realm through the life giver. I'll repeat that. Please try to grab hold of this. Wisdom and knowledge is the ability to adapt to existing in another realm through the life giver. Life does not change, but the wisdom and knowledge of life has the ability to alter existence so life can be manifested. I'll share that in a second here. In other words, the wisdom and knowledge of God has the ability to alter existence so life can be manifested. In other words, the Word became flesh, right? And dwelt among us. Wisdom and knowledge of life has the ability to alter existence so life can be manifested. So we see God's wisdom and knowledge had the ability to alter existence so that his life can be manifested. Eternal life used his wisdom and knowledge to alter existence that he might adapt to another realm. And he communicated by his person to his creative existence. Little deep, but hold on. I will repeat that. Eternal life used his wisdom and knowledge to alter existence that he might adapt to another realm and communicate by his person to his creative existence. And John 6. Is everybody okay? You'll get it. And John 6:60. Is everybody there? John 6:60. Would you read it with me, please? Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, now, hallelujah, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Turn to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8:8. You know, there are so many things that God wants to reveal to us. And one of the things that we allow the enemy to do is limit our comprehension. And the area where we agree with the enemy, when God is trying to reveal something to us, that it's either not God or that I can't get it. Or I can't understand it. When God has so much for us, and the deep things of God are so limitless, but one of the things that happens is individuals, because we still live in this realm, we become complacent, lazy, and compromised. Instead of digging deeper, we wait for someone else to dig for us. And in this, the deeper your walk is with the Lord, the more you come to the end of yourself. The more you come to the end of yourself, the more victory you'll have. Has everybody got it? In Romans 8:8, is everybody there? Let's read this together. So then those who are what? In the flesh cannot please God. Why? Because he said the flesh profits what? Nothing. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if. Everyone say if. Indeed, the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, in this scripture, I want you to understand that even though that the spirit of God dwells with you, in you, you still must yield to him. So the scripture is a little bit more expounded than what is just here. There's more to it. Because the spirit of God can dwell in you, but you can still ignore him. So everybody got it? Which causes you to walk in the flesh. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's called resurrection. Hallelujah. And we will rise. Is everybody okay? So flesh displeases God. In the Spirit is where we are pleasing to God. Because the Spirit will bring you home. The grave couldn't hold Jesus because of the Spirit of life. And it can't hold you. Because of the Spirit of life. Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Isn't it nice to know that you can't be held by the grave? Can't touch this. Can't touch me. In Matthew 27 and verse 45. The Spirit of life, the life giver. In verse 45, would you read it? From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, which was about 12 noon till 3. There was darkness over all the land as Jesus was on the cross. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of those who stood there when they heard that said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on the reed to offer it to him to drink. Then the rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, yielding up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. And the graves were open. Graves were open. When he died, graves were open. Everyone say, graves were open. But the spirit of life hadn't entered them yet. But the graves were open because when Jesus passed by the level of the grave, it opened them up. Where was he headed? To hell. He was headed to hell to disarm the enemy, take back the keys, and preach to those who were in prison. Is everybody okay? And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, but they weren't alive yet. Now, these were saints who accepted Jesus during the time of his ministry. And coming out of the graves after what? His resurrection. In other words, when he rose, they rose. Why? Because the spirit of life was now imparted in them. And they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Man, you know a lot of people got freaked out that day. I thought you were dead. I was. But I've come to tell you who brought me life. You know, Buddha didn't rise from the dead and give life. Muhammad and all the other false pagans. There's only one who died and rose. No one else did. No one else. Why? Because there's only one God. And there's only one way home. But it's amazing in how many people think that they can alter their way home. I'm sorry. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the corridor to eternity, and nobody comes no other way but through me. Amen? Oh, glory. So Jesus passed through the level of the graves and death to hell and was raised by the Spirit of life and opened the open bodies returned to life because Jesus passed by them on his return up and imparted life. Now Jesus rose from the grave and went right to heaven and brought his blood and the keys to the Father. Yeah. And now he distributes them to us, his children and the citizens of his kingdom. John 11. You didn't think I was going to talk about no Easter bunny, did you? I'll tell you about the Easter evangelist, though. He's the linebacker from heaven. And John 11 and verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house, which was Martha's sister. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. See, Martha didn't realize Jesus was God. Or she wouldn't have said, I know that you can ask God. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this, Martha? And she said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Wow. Is that powerful or what? See, so the Christ is the Spirit of life, adapted to the existence in this realm. The Christ is the resurrection. He is the Spirit of life who raises the dead. And of course, on that day, he raised her brother, Lazarus, who was dead. In 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me, please? For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. He what? He went and what? Preached to the spirits who were in prison. You know where that was? Hell. Hell. He gave them an opportunity to come on out. He said he preached to the spirits who were in prison. There was paradise and there was hell. He didn't have to preach to the ones in paradise. They were the just. But he preached to the unjust. Watch. By whom also he went to preach to the spirits in prison who formerly were what? Disobedient. When once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, the ark was being prepared in which a few, that is, eight souls were saved through water. So he went down and preached. Has everybody got this? He preached to them and allowed them to come out of hell. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of filth and flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities, powers, having been subjected to him. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. He who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for who? The will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking, parties, abominable idolatries. In regard to these things, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel is preached also to those who were dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. So Jesus went to hell for me and you, paid the price, disarmed the principalities, disarmed Satan, probably freaked him out when he showed up. Because the Bible says if Satan would have known who he was crucifying, he wouldn't have done it. That's why if you read in the scriptures, he's always saying, when he tempted Christ, he said, if you are the Son of God, because he wasn't 100% sure himself. And then he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, loosed us from that curse, gave us the spirit of life, the sword of the spirit, where we can sever ourselves from our curses that we do self-imposed or inherited, become overcomers and walk victoriously. Adapted now in this realm by his spirit, even though we don't belong here. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, is everybody there? Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. See, he's talking about who? Those he was going to get ready to go what? Preach to in prison. For the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Wow. So we see that all who are here and those who have done according to the will of God will rise and go home, and those who haven't done will rise and be condemned. In 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. In verse 20. Oh, it's a good day to hear a page is turning. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. Is everybody there? But now Christ is what? Risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since, now this sleep means dead, okay? Died. For since by man came what? Death. By man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But to each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. In other words, the rapture is another form of resurrection, which is the next feast to be fulfilled. It's called the Feast of Trumpets. Only Jesus fulfills them. That is a resurrection where those who are dead will rise and those who are alive will be taken up together and go home, because all hell is going to break out on this earth. But we're not destined for hell, are we? In verse 24, then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Oh, glory. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. James chapter 1. And the word speaks for itself. James chapter 1. In verse 17. Would you all read it with me, please? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits to his what? To his creatures. In other words, that we would rise with him. First fruits. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So he predestined, he set this up, that we would rise from this realm into an eternal realm. I'm going to close at Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 18. Everyone say, he who is in me is greater than he is in the world. Verse 18, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed, where? In us. Amen. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Who is the sons of God? We are. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with what? Perseverance. In other words, you've got to persevere. You've got to fight. You must hold on, because the enemy is going to try to steal, kill, and destroy everything in your life that will prevent you from making it home. You know, we were created to die. Jesus' will was to come into this realm and die. We were created to die, so that we could live. Has everybody got it? See, death is not an end, it's a beginning. So, if you want to die to yourself, you get a beginning. If you want to keep self alive, you're dead. Has everybody got it? What? You're dead to the things of the spirit. But you're alive according to the things of the flesh. So it's our responsibility. That's why Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, and in that be an example like me, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Follow him where? Home. Because he is the spirit of life, and the spirit of life that dwells within us will bring you home if you cooperate with him. He is also known as grace. Has everybody got it? By cooperating with grace and not trampling grace, we will make it home. See, it's our responsibility to keep the doors of the devil shut in our life. You must take time to review things and seek things out. What doors are open in your life? Why? Because any open door in your life will allow the enemy to come and steal, kill, and destroy. So it's our responsibility to keep the doors shut. It's our responsibility to cooperate with the Spirit of grace. It's our responsibility to follow him all the way home. Jesus was the prime example. He came to die and to give us an example. He rose from the dead. He hung out for 40 days. He visited many people, revealed himself, and then he sent his spirit of life to anyone willing to receive him as Savior and surrender to him as Lord. Anyone that is here today that is backslidden, that is not right with God, that isn't truly surrendered, you're still entangled in the affairs of the world, you're still fighting for your life, you're still in survival mode and not surrendered mode, I encourage you to turn from the world and turn to the Spirit of life, who will bring you home. Only he can bring you home. You can't. It's a day of reconciliation. It's a day of resurrection. It's a day of new life. And it's a day of freedom. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Let go of your past and grab hold to the new. And let God continue to fill you and bring you to places you could never imagine. But they are awesome places. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We apply the blood of Jesus on this seed. We ask that you allow it to grow and bear fruit for your glory and to bring glory to your name in every area of our life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah.